Trust me, you're going to love this.
This is Up to the Minute with Nicole.
Up to the Minute with Nicole.
Your weekly exploration of the world of fashion and design. Find out what to wear,
what's hot,
what's not,
the latest trends in fashion, and more.
Here's your host, Nicole Steinthal.
We're here today with Dina Mackney, jewelry designer. Welcome, Dina.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
I am so excited to have you. I've been admiring your designs for a while. They are so incredible. Every time I wear the necklace that you guys had sent me, everybody compliments me. I tell them
good.
To go right to the Neiman Marcus website and purchase it. So hopefully
that's
we've
excellent.
Gotten some stuff.
Well, that's our goal. That's our goal. I try to wear all my pieces out and see what gets comments and what doesn't, and then I know if it's a good piece or not. So that's
I'm
good
sure,
to hear. I'm sure
they all get
us.
Good comments.
Well,
and it's great to have you this week because it's Fashion Week here in New York. Tomorrow you're going to be doing a trunk show at Neiman Marcus in White Plains, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Will you tell us
right.
the time of the show tomorrow?
Usually 10 to 5.
Okay,
so
perfect.
So it's an all-day event just on the designer jewelry floor, so the main jewelry level.
Excellent. And will you have special pieces there that are exclusive to the trunk show that are not normally part of the selection at Neiman Marcus?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the great thing about trunk shows is we're always able to bring a lot of different one-of-a-kind pieces that, you know, tend to be more difficult to produce on a large-scale basis. So there's always some really unique pieces at trunk shows that you can't find anywhere else. So it's a really great time to come and see a huge offering. Obviously, Neiman has a great selection as well, but they can't carry everything that we produce. So it's nice to bring out all sorts of pieces that people don't get to normally see.
Great. Well, Dina, why don't you give us a little background of and how you got into jewelry design?
Sure. Well, it's funny. It was a very organic way. I was actually pregnant at the time, and I was designing some pieces for myself because I had basically one white outfit and one black outfit that fit. And so I was trying to create some things to mix my look up a little bit. And what I realized, and this is something that has been now has taught me a lot about my style, everyday styling, is that jewelry can really do that for you. You can have some basic outfits and mix it up with jewelry. So I was shopping one day, and I was wearing my own things that I had created for myself, and it was really sort of this pragmatic thing that I started designing jewelry. And the owner approached me and said, "Wow, I love that necklace you're wearing. Who makes it?" And I said, "Oh, well, you know, I do." And she said, "Wow, I we'd love to see more of your designs. Can you come and show us more?" And so that was really sort of the first time I thought, wow, okay, sure, that's great. So really the first time I thought that you know, maybe there was something I could actually create a business out of something that I was really enjoying. And so she was my first client. And then really from there, I started doing, getting into other smaller boutiques locally. I'm here now in the Washington, D.C. area after being other spots in the world, but and then I had done some shows, direct to consumer shows, type holiday things, and so we started doing that, and just had really started really building a business. And as a mom, it was too difficult to do these shows just the holiday time, so I started doing these wholesale events. And that's really, I think, when my business was born. And my first wholesale trunk show was picked up Nordstrom, which was a great partner for a while. And then transitioned into just growing from there. And then now I'm working with Neiman Marcus and lots of other interesting boutiques. But it was just sort of an organic growth process. And I've always known that I thought that I would do something in design, but I actually always thought that I would design clothing, but there you have it. It just arose out of a need. And I'm sure anyone who has been pregnant with kids can understand that the idea that you don't have a lot of options for clothing, and jewelry is one of those great things that always fits. So that's how, that was the impetus for my design business.
Wow, that's incredible. So, Dina, what was the first piece of jewelry you designed, and how has your style changed since then?
Right. Well, for some reason, when I first started designing jewelry, I was really focused on necklaces and rings. And also when I was designing, I only designed in solid 18 karat gold and sterling silver. And so I would say, first of all, my designs have evolved into other metals as well. And so when the, for instance, when the price of gold really skyrocketed years ago, that's when I developed my vermeil line, which is, if you don't know what that means, it's sterling silver with 18 karat gold on top of it. And so that was that, again, that the price of gold was really the driver in that. So that line really sort of took off. But really, I think my our everything has evolved slowly. You know, my design aesthetic has certainly evolved. I think it's gotten certainly more streamlined over the years. Our production process evolved. Everything has really evolved and refined and grown since I started. So obviously I had to expand into different categories, but really necklaces and cocktail rings were the start.
Okay, so now tell us, what is in the current assortment? Because you said you started out a lot with necklaces.
Yeah, we do everything now. I mean, truly, you know, there's we have not only we have necklaces, some semi-precious necklaces with pendants. We've got a big piece of our business is our great classic open link chains that are hammered, both long and short. And we have, over the years, I've developed this, years ago I developed this detachable bail. And that's been great for, you know, just a real, easy to wear, because you can have a couple different chains and semi-precious necks, and then you can switch out your pendants on a daily basis. So that's been a big, big piece. So we have anything from multi-strand necklaces that are semi-precious, link chain necklaces with enhancers. We've got great cuffs, large, and we've also got some more petite size cuffs. We've got all sorts of rings, anywhere from larger cocktail rings to really wearable daily band rings. We've got, of course, lots of different earrings, both sort of mid-scale, larger scale. So we really cover most categories in the jewelry design area. We even have a men's and unisex area with different cufflinks, and so it's really sort of expanded into try to cover every category.
I see. Who do you envision wearing your designs, and do you take this into account when you're designing the jewelry?
Oh, absolutely. That's a great question, because I really try to design jewelry, not just beautiful jewelry for art's sake. I really try to design it for people like me and my peers, my friends. I mean, I think I am like a lot of women these days who wears so many different hats and have such a busy schedule. You know, so there's, you know, it's running from doing something at your kid's school to, you know, a charitable event, a dinner out at night. You know, there's just so many facets to our busy lives these days. And so I try to make sure that, you know, as I design something, it's something that I would wear, or, you know, one of my friends might wear, and that it is, in fact, wearable. It's versatile. You can easily go from day to night. So, as I said, that was one of the reasons for developing these enhancers, is that it's a great way to go from day to night pretty easily. So I absolutely try to make sure it fits in with the lifestyle of women like me. And I think that more and more women across the country and even in the world have that busy lifestyle.
What are some of the new pieces you're working on?
Well, I am nonstop designing, so I'm always working on new pieces. And I find that it's a good way because you just whenever the inspiration hits me, I try to just design on a continual basis. But some of the interesting things I'm working on at the moment, there's a stone that I'm working on for spring. It's a cultured opal, which is something I hadn't worked with before, and that's a really interesting. Okay. I've worked with so many stones over the years that it's so fun to find something new that I haven't worked with. So that's really interesting, and that's going to be coming spring 2017. Another really interesting piece I've spent a lot of time on is this ring, and it took some time to figure out the sort of mechanics of it, but it's a flip ring, and on one side it's a dark hematite doublet, and on the other side it's a white mother of pearl doublet. So you can take it off, flip it, so that you can really wear it all year round. And I love it. And I just finished it, and I did it in 18 karat gold, and I'm just trying to now figure out if that can translate into the other metals. But it's a really neat concept that, you know, just working again into that whole versatility piece. So that's been a really great piece that I think people have responded to.
That sounds amazing. So you really get two looks with one ring.
Exactly.
Right. So how do you go about making a new piece or a new design?
Well, you know, it's funny. Sometimes I'm nonstop sketching. So as I mentioned, you know, there really is inspiration wherever you look. So I'm sketching all the time, but a lot of times, because my line can be pretty stone-driven, a lot of times I'm in my studio, which is filled with stones, really, from floor to ceiling. I have a crazy amount of raw materials in my office. I'm really sort of trying to just create combinations of different stones, different colors, different textures, and really trying to create a design that lets the natural beauty of those stones shine. So sometimes it's driven by the stones themselves, but sometimes it is driven by a silhouette that I've sketched or some interesting design element that, you know, I've just decided that the silhouette is the most important part rather than the stone. So basically that it starts from one way or the other, and then, you know, we create sample pieces, and from there, of course, you were out showing it to different customers, and then we go into full-scale production from there. So it is sort of a long process, which is why I do design all the time.
That's incredible. You know what? We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in a couple minutes. Hi, welcome back to Up to the Minute with Nicole. We're here, Fashion Week, talking with Dina Macney, jewelry designer. Dina, welcome back.
Thank you. It's been fun to be here.
Oh, I love having you. As I said in the first segment, I love your jewelry. It's so incredible. The piece that I have is almost like a rainbow bead with some dark colors, wines, and turquoise with a tassel. And it's so versatile, and I love it.
That's one of my favorite pieces, and there's a great story behind that, too. So I love that's one of my favorite pieces.
It's incredible. Do you want to tell us the story about it?
Well, it was just that, you know, we were just, before we went for break, we were talking about how I go about designing a new piece. And with this particular piece, it was last year when we had all this crazy snow, and I knew I was going to be stranded at home for a few days, so I grabbed anything I could out of my studio and any different materials, and I just threw it in a big box. And when I was stranded at home, I started just making that particular piece. I thought, wow, I have so much interesting material. Wouldn't it be great to just have a piece that incorporates all of the different textures and all the different cuts and all the different colors? And so, as you know, on your piece, the colors transition really nicely into each other, but it has a lot of different shapes, and every stone on there is a beautiful semi-precious piece. And to top it off, I had this tassel that I had bought, I don't know, 10 years ago in New York, and it was just thrown in the box. And I was like, oh, this is great. I'll just add this on the end for this interesting design element. And so that was my snow day project last year, and it became one of our best-selling pieces and really spawned this whole line of what we call our Shanti necklaces, which means peace. They're all long silhouettes with really interesting stones and detachable tassels. So anyway, that was.
It's beautiful. And it is called the rainbow necklace because of all the different colors, and it does transition well, like you said. So I wanted to ask you, Dina, what is your favorite piece in your own personal jewelry collection? Because I'm sure you have an extensive collection.
I know, I do. I do, but, you know, it's so hard for me to choose a favorite because, of course, I like all of them. But I, you know, I would say I love the pieces that I wear the most. And I think that would be, you know, I in my studio, I have a million pieces of jewelry. At my house, I don't keep as much jewelry there, so I have to really edit it and keep a smaller collection there. And so there I tend to have an 18-inch and 36-inch long chain, and I have a variety of just great pendants that I tend to wear on a regular basis, whether it's a beautiful blue topaz for sort of a dramatic look, or one of our like newer pieces, which is an all-gold metal piece with just a real beautiful white topaz accent, which obviously can be worn with everything. And then I also have this band ring that I tend to wear a lot, and it is a mixed metal piece, which is solid 18-karat gold and an oxidized silver. And all the band rings we create, we just did actually a whole thing of different sapphire, pink and blue sapphire band rings for Neiman's. They're really nice because you feel like you can wear them every day and they don't get in the way. And so I love the band rings. But I also, my other favorite piece is this cuff that I have is sort of an inside out cuff because, you know, the open part that is usually towards the back is actually towards the front, and there's black stones that edge the opening. And it's a great piece that I wear all the time. It's nice if you have maybe an outfit that doesn't work with a necklace and you have a nice dramatic cuff and you feel like all of a sudden you're dressed and ready to go. You know, it's just a great piece to have. So I think those are some of my favorite go-to pieces, but you know, I love stones so much that I love popping on, you know, a really colorful piece because I tend to sort of go for a more tonal dressing. So a lot of times I'll wear, you know, all black or maybe all white, and so it's great because it gives you such a clean palette to add on color. It's really fun to pop on a ring, maybe a three-stone ring that's got some great color, or, you know, a pendant that one of my enhancers that creates, you know, added dimension to the outfit. So those are some of my favorites.
Those all sound lovely. Dina, what this comes up a lot with my readers and listeners. They want to know, what are the five pieces that every woman should have in her jewelry wardrobe? Or collection?
Well, I absolutely think a great cuff. I mean, I think a cuff is one of those things that is so easy to pop on, and it's really great when, like I said, if you've got an outfit that, you know, sort of is pesky with the earrings or the neckline is weird, you know, it's really great to have a dramatic, even if it's just an all gold cuff or a, or, you know, some sort of cuff that just all of a sudden you are ready to go and it's so easy to put on. So I would say, for me, I love like having one big cuff and then one mini cuff. So you can mix up the looks there when your cuff is, your big cuff is not the focus. I would also say, you know, I'm more and more, I love the longer silhouettes. So I definitely think you've got to go for, I mean, you've got to have some long silhouettes in your wardrobe, whether it's, for me, I tend to wear a lot of long, a long chain, because the long chain also is great because you can wear it a million different ways. You can wear it long and you can attach an enhancer. You can pile up the chains and just have a whole chain look. You can also take the 36 inch chain and you can double it. So you've got sort of a, you know, a bigger look up towards your neck, but you can also wear it as a lariat. You could even wear it as a belt. You could, you know, do all sorts of things with the 36 inch chain. So I definitely think the 36 inch chain is an absolute must. But I also think the third thing would be, maybe a long silhouette that's a little softer look with, all semi-precious stones. And those actually tend to be some of our most popular items. Whether it's sort of a long ruby or just a long, the long shanti like you have. It's great for those tunics that you want to, you know, have a long piece to sort of settle the flowiness of the shirt down. So I'd say a long chain look and a long semi-precious look. Those are a couple other ones. And absolutely a great everyday ring and a great cocktail ring. You've got to have that. And something that's really like a, you know, a real showstopper ring. I mean, I think everyone, the whole part of the whole a theme that we talk about a lot is that, you know, when you feel great, when you feel like you look great, I think you're more confident, you know, and you feel,
right.
You know, you just do, you're just really a lot, you're motivated. You're just, you can get things done. You're just, and so I really feel like it's, you know, our jewelry is meant to make you look great, but also feel great. And I think when you've got a great couple showstopper pieces, you know, and people stop you and like, wow, that's such an interesting ring or such an interesting pendant. It's really, you got to have a couple of those because I think it's nice. And, you know, it just makes you feel good. And, you know, and that's, I think that's the, one of the things that differentiates us a little bit is that, you know, we are real, we know jewelry really well. I know a lot of stones really well. And there is, the stones themselves have so many stories, you know, whether it's from, you know, they're just really interesting pieces. You know, I did these earrings that were, for instance, really just sort of a basic earring, but they had a real interesting pattern. And whenever I tell people that it was this stone, you know, that was mined off the, you know, northern coast of Madagascar and could only be mined when the tide was low, it makes that piece all that much more interesting, you know, that there is this whole interesting natural element to it. So I think having some interesting pieces like that is nice. It's a conversation starter. They look great, adds color. So I'd say those are the few. You know, a couple rings, absolutely long link chain, a long semi-precious, an awesome cuff.
That is a good start. I like that. And I know on your website you have a lot of chains and those semi-precious necklaces and definitely rings. So your website is a good place to start mm-hmm. with the collection. Now, Dina, I wanted to ask you, you know, we see a lot of, like, splurge and steal items, you know, the high low in jewelry.
Right.
I just was with my girls over the summer. They were dying to go to H&M And I saw some great tassel earrings and all this stuff there. And I was thinking, it got me thinking, what do you consider like items that should really be a splurge and then other items that we could get away with the steal price?
Well, I tend to think if you're going for something that is really, really super trendy and it's a concept that next season is really just going to be, you're not going to be able to wear it. I'd say that's when you go for the, the really price point target. But for things that that have some longevity to them, that, you know, maybe on trend, have elements of that on trend, but that you're going to be able to wear season after season. That's when I think you go for starting to entertain the higher price points. So we have a variety of price points, but, you know, I tend not to do, you know, long time ago, let's say bib necklaces were in, you know, we don't always go for the super, super, super trendy stuff. I absolutely always have my eye, on the runway and what are the trends? What are the colorways? Just so that our jewelry is relevant for clothing that, you know, the new collections that are coming out every season. So we do keep an eye on that so that we're relevant, but we don't keep it so trendy that you're not going to be able to wear it in a season because our price point is not the lowest, price point you can get out there. But, so I would say, stick with that if it's super, super trendy that you think is not a trend that's not going to last.
Great. And I also see on your website you have a great blog as well that picks some of your jewelry and shows you ways to wear them. So I love that, where it could help you with what you might want to splurge on. I do have to say, as you said, your price point is not the steel in the steel category, but you still have a very good price point as opposed to all the other jewelry that's out there.
Absolutely. Our price point is very good. Earrings in our designer line, I would say, are anywhere from 100 to 200. And that's an average. Of course, we've got some that are lower and we've got some that go up to $400. You know, necklaces are, you know, our hammered 18-inch chain is $275. I think that's a great price given how much you can wear that. And you can add on pendants. And the pendants range anywhere, I would say, from $200 to $500. So they fall anywhere within there. I mean, again, we have pendants that are less than $200, but we also have pendants that are more. It all varies based on the stones and the craftsmanship, how detailed is the pendant. So I think our price points are fantastic in our designer line, and that's really the feedback we get all the time. And certainly the pieces, you know, if you think about how much you spend at Starbucks every week, it's an amazing price that you can wear things and have this really special piece that you can wear over and over again. Obviously, our fine jewelry, which is made, created out of a solid 18 karat gold, is a higher price point because obviously the price of gold is exponentially higher than sterling silver, and the less amount of gold that we use in our Vermeil pieces. And those prices, while still good, you know, probably start more at the 500 range and up. So we do cover the gamut and the price points, but I'd say for what you're getting, you know, a beautiful natural semi-precious stone, real true metals, sterling silver and 18 karat gold, you really are getting a lot for the price.
You really are, and your designs are timeless, really gorgeous. You know, another question that comes up a lot is that the little black dress is so always in the forefront of people's wardrobe. They grab it to go to work events or, you know, school events at night or going out to dinner. What would you recommend is like the ideal piece to dress up this look?
Well, I love this question because I happen to, I wear a lot of little black dresses. They're such a great go-to dress. And, like I said before, I tend to go for the tonal dressing. So, with my different little black dresses, you know, I have certainly, and it certainly depends on the material. You know, is it a heavy, thicker, or is it really a light and dainty? But I know with a lot of mine, what I love, I have this one great black dress that I tend to wear a lot. It has a neckline that really goes all the way up to the neck, and it's got some sort of sheer areas in it. So I always felt like a necklace was competing with that piece. So then in that instance, I tend to go for a great big cuff and some great big earrings. So I think I told you about the cuff that I tend to wear a lot, which is that open cuff that has some black onyx lining the open part. But any great cuff would do, a great gold cuff or something with stones that could add some color to the dress. I love adding color. As I mentioned, I think having a black or white, just clean palette makes it easy for adding some jewelry. But I have other black dresses where a great gold link chain over the black is a phenomenal contrast. And, you know, adding an interesting silhouette or an interesting stone on top of that is great, because oftentimes if you are at a party or you're in sort of a more crowded area, sometimes if you're just putting on like a great fabulous ring, sometimes people don't get to see it because you're out and you're talking and you're mingling. But always with a fantastic, you know, 18-inch neck and a fabulous pendant, it's something that people can see, and it's really close to your face and it always complements your face. So certainly, those are the things that I tend to go to. I also try to, you know, when I'm going to address the occasion, I ditch my watch, and I sometimes go for a double cuff look. So
I love that.
I cuff on each arm. They're different. They're not matchy-matchy. One might be like a larger cuff, and one is maybe a smaller cuff, and they're different silhouettes. But it's a really cool look. And so, you know, that's also an option. And just depending on, you know, the silhouette of the dress, if it has, you know, no waistline, again, maybe a longer, you know, maybe piling on the chains, or maybe having a long semi-precious is, that's a colorful, nice way to go. But if it's a real fitted dress, you know, maybe an 18 inch is the way to go. And if it's got a lot of stuff going on, maybe it's too busy for a necklace, and maybe you just go for a fabulous cuff and fabulous earrings.
Wow. Okay. What about you? What is your go-to piece of jewelry? Your one piece of jewelry that never lets you down. You use it, wear it all the time.
Well, right now, I mean, of course, since I have so much jewelry in my studio, that evolved, but my piece of jewelry that I wear all the time right now, especially since I don't tend to have as much jewelry at home as I do at my studio, the one I wear all the time now is this great long 36-inch hammer chain with this brand new gold pendant. It's a really interesting lotus silhouette that is an all-gold piece. And it's just got a great white topaz accent. And I just find it just basically goes with everything. And so it's a really one of my more versatile pieces.
Wow, that's great. Sounds gorgeous. What inspires your designs?
You know, for me, there is really inspiration abound. I mean, it could be, you know, a beautifully decorated room, a flower arrangement that has just all these interesting colors in it. It could be just an architectural element. You know, I'm here in the DC area. There's lots of interesting architecture in the city. It could be any number of those things that strikes me. But I'm also a really big stone collector. And so I have been collecting rocks really since I was a kid. So in my studio, I have just a real amazing collection of stones, whether it's, you know, Mexican fire opal or pink tourmaline or, you know, different doublets or a really interesting Australian prehnite. And so sometimes I let the stones be my inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I just sit in my studio and I'm creating different color combinations. Maybe there's different, cuts that I've, you know, that I've created along the way. And so it is spending a lot of time with my stones in my studio. And then it's, you know, also, looking at some silhouettes that I've sketched along the way, just from the everyday beauty that really surrounds me on a daily basis. So for me, it's lots of things. It's anything I might see in the city. It's anything I might see out in the Virginia countryside. It could be anything. So I feel like I have a lot of inspiration in terms of the jewelry itself. And then as I create the piece, I think I told you before, it's really the women who wear my pieces that sort of inspire me to create not just this beautiful piece of art, but something that is also wearable and price accessible. So, you know, so it's sort of a big process. It's being inspired by the stones and the silhouettes and the lines of the piece. But it's also, you know, as it gets the more, you know, bringing it to market, you know, I'm more inspired by how will it be worn? How will it, you know, how will it be received? So it's a big mixture of everything.
Will you tell us what is your biggest jewelry pet peeve?
I love this question. Of course, I have one. My pet peeve is when I am out with customers, for instance, and people say, well, I have this great V-neck dress and I want to wear just earrings and no necklace. And that drives me crazy because I think a big V-neck necklace is begging for a great necklace with a dramatic pendant. And I don't think it is begging for the earrings as much. So that is my biggest pet peeve. I think these big wide open V-necks really beg for something to be right there and make the look complete. So that's my pet peeve.
Okay, I love it. I love it. Now, why don't you tell us a little bit about the outlets that sell your designs? So we know you have your own website and Neiman Marcus.
Mm-hmm.
Does
mm-hmm.
Neiman Marcus have a lot of the same jewelry that's on your website, or is it a different selection? And
it's a different selection. You know, obviously Neiman Marcus is a great partner that we've worked with over the last 5.5 years now. But they have so they've got a great selection, and we are, you know, ever expanding in those stores, and we do lots of neat events with them. And then we also have, as you mentioned, our website, which is also ever evolving. As you probably know, it is actually a lot of work to keep it, you know, keep it up and keep it evolving with new products all the time, which we absolutely do. But we don't, you know, we don't want to compete with our people who sell our jewelry. So we sell different, tend to sell different things on our website. And sometimes we have one of a kind pieces that we're able to focus, to sell there that we can't sell in a larger distribution channel like a Neiman Marcus. But we also have some really great, boutiques and galleries across the country. And there's so many interesting, you know, there's so many interesting new stores out there. There's some stores that carry us have a focus on clothing, and so they have our jewelry to complement our clothing. We've got some really great stores that are sort of both large and small. We've got really neat boutiques and new markets. Nashville's a big market, but even in some of the smaller markets, like in Alabama, we've got a great client, Personal Couture. They're really an interesting clothing store. But we also do galleries, and sometimes there's really interesting showcases of our work with, like, we've done work with the San Francisco De Young Fine Arts Museum, and we've done collections for them that where we collaborate, and maybe they're having they had a Bulgari exhibit, for example. So we show them a collection that might, you know, complement what they're having in their what they're showcasing, and then we did a whole line for them, and they did the Oscar de la Renta feature. So yeah, so we do some really interesting things like that. So it's really varied. So you can find our things all over the country, and of course the neat thing about boutiques is that they all have a different, you know, they all have a different slant of and their interpretation of, you know, what they like. So you might find different pieces of ours all over the country. But I would say that the mainstay across all those channels is certainly the idea of this detachable enhancer with the chain or semi-precious neck. But it is fun to see what people pick out. And of course, as you mentioned, we do trunk shows and events with Neiman Marcus, and we do those really all year long except for the summer. And those are amazing times. We bring so much jewelry to those events, and it's really the only time you can see so much of our jewelry at one time. And so it really gives you just such an idea of scope of our work, and it's nice because retailers can't possibly carry everything that I make. So those are great opportunities to see a large volume of work. So we're trying, obviously, to continue to expand into, you know, deepen our relationship with Neiman Marcus and grow our stores there and our presence there. And you know, we feel like we're really only at the tip of the iceberg with the other boutiques that we're carried in. So, you know, but as you know, that it's a big process to go out and gain new clients that way. But, and certainly we'd love to branch out into the international arena, which we have not done yet. But, those are all places where we sell and where we, you know, where we'd like to grow into.
Wow, that's impressive. We're here today with jewelry designer Dina Macney.
Thank you. I've been having so much fun.
We've been having a blast with you. You're giving us so much great information about your jewelry and a jewelry wardrobe. This is really incredible. Dina, there are so many jewelry designers out there. How do you stay relevant?
You know, I know it's so interesting that the market has changed so much, and you're right. There are just so many different jewelry designers, and not just really jewelry designers. There's, you know, brands that are expanding into jewelry that when their expertise is not really jewelry. So there's so much out there, but, I really try to stay relevant by, I think I mentioned before, I feel like I have a big knowledge base on the stones because that really is my expertise is really, I've been working with stones for so long and even as a kid, I was really a rock hound, but, I think we provide a really unique proposition in that they are natural stones. There is a real story. These are stones that are dug up out of the ground and polished and just are naturally beautiful. They're not a resin piece. They're not, anything like that. They are really beautiful natural stones. So that's one point of differentiation. But I try to stay relevant in that I really just I do evolve, and I have evolved over time. Every year, I've evolved my design aesthetic to really reflect more of how I live, what how my peers live, what we wear, you know, what we actually wear, what makes sense for our busy lifestyle. And I think we also, I really, you know, I always thought that I would be a clothing designer, and somehow I became a jewelry designer, as we talked about before. And so I am really interested in what's going on in the fashion world. And so it's absolutely a priority. I keep on, you know, keep on what's happening in that world, so that whatever I'm creating is certainly on trend with that world, so that our pieces work with all the collections that are coming out. And yet our pieces are not so trendy that they don't have longevity to them. So so I think it's all of that piece together, and trying to stay relevant. And, you know, the truth of the matter is, you can have the best design idea in the world, and if you can't bring it to market through your production process and in a timely manner and in an affordable price point, then you aren't relevant, you know. And so it is a little bit of everything, and that we have worked over the last 13 years to try to master all of those things. But, you know, obviously I think it does all start with the design element, and that's something that I always has been my favorite part of the business. You know, although I went to a regular university, I also went to Parsons. So I have a little bit of a dual mind, and so I do love the, obviously my favorite part is the creative aspect. And I think that is where everything starts. And I think it's a constant reassessment of how you're doing that keeps you relevant. You know, and now we also are out in the market a lot. You know, as I mentioned, we're having the Neiman Marcus trunk show. We will probably do 14 shows in the span of 3 months. And so we are constantly out talking to customers and, you know, having that constant feedback loop and, you know, knowing what people are reacting to, rather than only communicating with our buyers. And I think that's an important piece of it too.
Okay, and then Dina, what are some of the trends that you're seeing in the jewelry design business?
Well, I mean, obviously, I think that the creative trends, those trends on the runway, evolve every single season. But I don't think that's what you're talking about. I think you're talking about maybe the business side of things, and certainly technology, you know, has become a big for some people. That, you know, that's it's a bigger piece of it, and because it's a bigger piece of the retail environment, it's a bigger piece. It has to work its way back into the you know, into our life, because we are selling to the retailers. But you know, also from a production standpoint, we do utilize a lot of technology now for pieces that we are, you know, creating molds from. But for the most part, our pieces are actually handmade, every single one of them. So we actually don't cast as many pieces probably as some other lines do. Ours is actually still very handmade. So that is probably a little bit, old school, I guess. You know, there are certain people who just create molds and only create, you know, 5 pieces a season, and they create molds and just produce a lot of those 2 pieces. But we tend to do handmade pieces. So, with our fine jewelry line, however, we do use technology quite a bit, because it's too expensive to experiment in solid 18 karat gold. So I would say that technology is the biggest piece that has evolved in the jewelry design business, and of course the retail business, which comes back to us. And I think that the distribution channels are, we are seeing a slow, I think if you watch how the retail environment is going, I think there is a change in the retail environment as well that we are continuing to track. So, yeah, I think for better or for worse, I think technology will play a life, play a part in all of our lives.
Yes, definitely. And then tell me, Dina, there are so many wonderful boutiques that you said in Neiman Marcus that carry your jewels. Other than international, what would be one of your dream locations to carry your line?
Oh, wow. We have so many people on our hit list that we would love to work with. I mean, you know, first we'd love to, as I said before, enhance our relationship with Neiman Marcus and really be carried everywhere in Neiman Marcus, because right now we are selected Neiman Marcus stores across the country. So, of course, it's such a great partnership. We'd love to grow that partnership. And there's so many new, interesting, really new, interesting concept stores that we would like to be part of. And we would love to expand into some other larger retailers, one thing we have been focusing on recently is that, you know, Neiman's carries our designer line, which is our Vermeil line and our Sterling Silver line, and we'd love to find a distribution for our fine jewelry line, and we've been in discussions with a large retailer, which we're really excited about and hope that comes to fruition, but that would be a really a great way for us to grow, is so that we have a really neat outlet for our fine jewelry and also our designer line. But as I said, you know, we have not even scratched the surface, we feel like, and we have no international distribution right now, and I think that is going to be a really important focus for us in the future. You know, given our world today, I think it would be fantastic to create a bigger brand nationally, but also internationally.
Oh, well, that's great. So, Dina, what's next for Dina McKinney Designs?
Well, I think it's most immediately, we're trying to finalize our spring 17 line and then on to fall. But from a bigger picture, of course, I just hope to continue to expand, continue evolving my design process and our production process. And we're actually, assessing our production process right now and, maybe doing some interesting changes there. But also growth. I mean, growth is really important. You know, if you you can have, you know, as I said before, you can have the most amazing designs, but if no one gets to see it, then, right. Yeah, then you don't get to grow. I mean, it's a little like, you know, it's a little like there's so many great bands. You know, my brother and sister-in-law are in the music industry. There's so many great bands out there, but unless you have some radio play or some outlet, satellite radio, anything, then you don't get to continue to enjoy to do the thing that you love to do. So, and that growth enables you to continue to do the thing you're passionate about. And for me, that's designing this jewelry that makes women feel great and look great and feel confident. And so really my hope is to continue to grow, within our existing distribution, but also to grow to more channels so that we are more accessible to people out there, because we do feel like when people see our jewelry, they do tend to buy and become a fan. And so if we could really increase our exposure, that's really what we're looking to do so that we can continue to do this.
Well, this is wonderful. Dina, thank you so much. Thank you for being here with us during Fashion Week. We learned so many things about your business and about increasing our jewelry wardrobe. It's been just wonderful. Wish you the best of luck. hopefully people will go check out your jewelry online. I will link all your website information. So, Dina, thank you. And we can't wait to see more of those fabulous necklaces and earrings and bracelets and rings.
Well, thank you so much. We're such a big fan at Dina Mackey in our studio. So thank you so much. And you continue doing the great work you do, too. So thanks again. We really
thank you so much.